for, in the place to be, from the same man who bought you the bitches.
The bitches, the bitches, the bitches.
We were misunderstood last time we brought you the bitches.
The bitches, the bitches.
Now we're gonna clear it up and let you make up your own mind like this. Now a queen's a queen and a whore is a whore. She felt if she made me wait, I'd have more respect for her. Adore her. Eventually spending up my digits, she felt that love would make me buy her mad material shit. She likes to trick 'em, 'cause ain't nothing like a sleeping victim. East New York style, stick 'em.
Ha ha ha.
Stick 'em, top rated game. But if this game I played it, underestimated. Swore the king was checkmated. She.
Yo. Are you a pimp, a hustler?
No, I'm not.
Are you a man, and can you stand alone like a man has to sometimes?
Yes, I can.
Are you willing to go out there and save the lives of our children, even if it means losing your own life?
Yeah,
yes, I am. I believe you, J-Roo. You ready?
We have nothing to worry about.
Now, I don't push your Lex. Others have their turn to flex. J-Roo is up next.
All right, ready.
So-called players.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Oh, good night, good night, good night. Oh, wow.
See, that's how you have a good morning right there. A good afternoon.
That's how you start?
Yeah, that's a good evening and a good night. Welcome to One Up, and very much
life.
And very much so, a fourth meal. You know what I'm saying, Saif?
Yeah.
Let's not waste any time. Let's not play any games.
Okay.
Let's talk to a guy. I don't think we've ever had this guy on One App.
I don't think so.
I don't really understand, actually. Yo, man. Yo, J-Roo, man. Why we never done One App with you before? Welcome, J-Roo.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Here now, so it's all like good.
Somebody's slacking, and we don't know if it's on our part.
I think
or
it's
your
me.
Part.
I think it's me.
Now Peter hit me up before and was like, "Yo, what's up?" And you know, I ain't here again. You know how I am. I'm a ninja. You know, I wait till I'm called to assassinate.
Well, J-Roo, we're happy to have you here, man. First of all, I was thinking about you the other day because I was Premier posted that little video with the breakdown of how he did come clean.
Yeah, the what's up joint. So what's up? Yeah.
So what's up joint. And I guess, Saif, I never realized that that chorus, that Onyx chorus, was something that Premier just always used as sort of like a DJ warm-up thing. And then J-Roo had the idea of, like, let's flip that.
I mean, Obviously, It's such a just knowing it from the J-Roo song is just such a dope thing to scratch. Like there's some things as a DJ, there's some things that sound better to scratch than other things because there's no drum on that particular part. So it gives you a better DJ element to just scratch the vocal. Mind you, it doesn't matter with Premier because he scratched things that had full blown drums in it and still makes it sound incredible.
Right.
But that, like, it's just a dope ass noise to scratch.
Let's start before that though, J-Roo. Where does your hip hop story pre Gangstar, pre DJ Premier in the streets of Brooklyn begin?
Right.
Man, I was born hip hop, you know what I'm saying? But the oldest person that I know in the music business as far as like as far as working with is PF Cut, because he did my first demo. Because the story is, my mom's used to work for his pops back in the days. His pops owned an Italian restaurant on the corner called Leo's, and my mom's worked for Leo. So I knew PF like since we was like 7, 6 years old. You know.
So you just want to start. Up, you just want to start one up with a banger. You just want to start with a banger.
Like. And I used to go with Blase. Like, my real first experiences in the studio was with Blase. He used to record at 12-12-2 with
Queens.
Yeah,
right?
With Paul C. Like, Paul C was the engineer. Like, I knew Paul back when I was in high school because I used to go up there with Blase, with at the time, his name was MC. I went to Franklin K. Lane.
Okay. I don't even know that school.
Yeah, where's Franklin K. Lane?
It's on the border of East New York and Queens. Actually, Spinderella went to that, my high school. That's where all the guys, like the guys from like Pink Houses, Cypress, all of these guys that you hear about and all of these East stories on. Right, in the East. So I went to that school. And yeah, I mean, I wasn't there that much, you know what I'm saying? But I went to Lane, so I know a lot of different dudes, like Eric Sermon's cousin Jamel. He went to that school. There's a lot of different, you know, people. I mean, in the streets that went there.
Now, so I think I cut you off. You were saying Blase's real name back then.
Oh, he had his MC name is MC Loud. You know.
What was your name? Was your name always J-Rue? Couldn't be.
I mean, yeah, that's my name. Like, you know, if you know me from school, you just know me as this.
Wait, say it again. If you know your school, you know you as what?
If you know me, my name, you just know me as J-Rue Davis. Like, on my government papers, it say Kendrick, but that's Guru fault, because when we first did the record, he put Kendrick on there. But no, my mother don't even call me Kendrick. Like, my cousins, I got family members, they don't even know that's my name. They just know me as J-Rue. And like I said, all through school, I was J-Rue Davis. So everybody who know me, they just know J-Rue.
That's your middle name?
Yeah, I actually got a lot of people don't know. I got like five names. My name is Kendrick J-Rue Michael Anthony Davis. But all right, so this is how the J-Rue thing is. See, my dad, him and his friends, they actually had like the first Naya Bingy Rastafari organization in New York City in Brooklyn, one of the first. And my dad, his name was Kendrick, but he had changed his name to J-Rue. And because he's around a lot of West Indians, when they say J-Rue, they say J-Rue. So that's why they call me J-Rue, right? And I was never allowed. My auntie is the one, when she was in the hospital, my dad didn't get there in time. And they had already like put like eight names on my birth certificate. My dad was like, yo, don't call him nothing but J-Rue. That's why I got so many names, because I have a lot of aunties, right? So everybody was like, name this, name that, name that. And I'm the firstborn.
Wow.
Right? So it was like a big thing. And my dad was like, man, do not call him anything but J-Rue. So I've always just been J-Rue. And then West Indians, like I said, when they say J-Rue, they say J-Rue. You know, right. Not J-Rue. So it's just J-Rue and the streets and, you know.
What was we do some talk. I mean, if you're from or spend time in New York, you know a little bit about East New York. What was East New York back like though in the 80s? Because
when I was growing up, you know, a lot of people try to say it's like when they talk about the ghetto and the hood, they always say it's like a jungle. It's not like the jungle, because it's laws. You understand what I'm saying? Certain animals don't mess with certain animals. You know, right, everything has an order, right? But when I grew up, it was more like a zoo with no cages. You understand what I'm saying? So it's like alligators with rabbits. And you know what I mean? Things like that, things that don't go next to each other. So, you know, it was either, you was either predator or prey. And that's real, you know? And like, I don't think I'm a tough guy. I never... tough guy, but I was definitely out in the streets. Like, a lot of people don't know, like, in the streets, like most people, if you was in the streets, you knew me, I knew you.
Well,
so it was crazy, because to answer your question, I'll tell you something like this. One day I wake up and we hear news, 10-10 wins. My mom used to listen to 10-10 wins a lot of times.
Yeah.
Oh, remember 10-10 wins?
That's so old school New York.
10-10 wins. So my mom's listening to 10-10 wins, and they say on New Lost Avenue, breaking news, on New Lost Avenue, they found a box, and people are chopped up in the box. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they got, that's the type in the vacant lot. That was my cousin. You know what I'm saying? Her landlord wanted her out. And so they got him killed, chopped up, put in boxes, and sat him on the lot. You know, you never knew when you was gonna, every second could be your last second. You know what I mean? And I grew up in it, you know. I was really in the street. Like, you know, a lot of dudes be talking like all of that crime and all of that. Like, I was doing crime for real. Like, I'm not gonna reveal, but the 75th precinct is one of the most notorious precincts.
Yeah, there's a documentary about that.
All right. They had a task force for me and my man. You know what I'm saying? Just specifically for us.
Yeah.
I'm not for what, but you know, so like that's why when I came out on my record, I never glorified it because I was growing into a different person.
Yeah.
But I knew the streets. So that's why I was never afraid to say what I wanted to say. And Sife, you know, if you seen me, Pete, if you see me, percent of the time I'm by myself.
Always.
Always. I'm by myself. I move and that's how I always move. I would move man I fool, and that was pretty much it. And that's because that was my crime from the hood. I'm saying, but so I knew that's why I say I would pop off and say whatever I was saying. It was youthful, it was arrogant and all that. But I was from the East New York.
Crazy. Like so crazy growing up in those days where like you were in the streets, you were doing dirt, you were doing crime or whatever it was, but then you were also getting knowledge yourself, dropping bombs. Like I always imagine what it was like, because I'm a little bit younger. I always imagine right. How like 5% is Nation of Islam, Rastas, what's the other group? The Michael York, the Dr. York.
Oh, the Ansars.
Like, I can always imagine street corners back then where it's like we're doing crime, but we're also building and adding knowledge to individuals. And so it had to be a crazy time in history.
Well, and you all, it also kind of was reflected, J-Ru, on the person that I know as you, because when I listened to your music when you first came out, the shit was definitely grimy, and you could definitely right. feel the street presence. And then by the time I got to know you, you were already at the stage where you were, you know, grabbing a camera and starting to take pictures and really being right. kind of an artsy dude. So it's interesting that you say that as you were becoming an artist, that was the period when you were changing from sort of a street dude to an artist.
Right. And I wasn't changing from a street dude to an artist because I was always an artist and I'm always going to be a street dude to a thing. Right. I was growing as a man.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's what it is. You see, we 21, we 20, we 25. We think, you understand what I'm saying? But in the scheme of the world and knowing, you still a child.
Yeah.
You know, you spent your formal years, you say if you 20, you spent most of that time at home. And even if you were using the street, you still yeah. wasn't really paying no rent. Some of us was.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. You was in a small world. Yeah. You hadn't even really been outside the world. By Google, RIP, I got to give a shout out to Preem. You know, those brothers changed my life. And that's another thing. Like, in my household, you know, I didn't grow up. I grew up with mad love. You understand what I'm saying? I wasn't one of them kind of kids who went home and I didn't want to go home.
Right.
It was crazy. I could go home. That was haven. You know what I mean? I could go and get in the crib. And I got his, and my mother, she always would make sure that we experimented and tried new things. It was always, we was always go to our cousins in Florida in the summer. She sent us to summer camp in the summer, sleepaway camp. I didn't want to go. I wanted to be on the block with the dudes. But I learned how to canoe and archery and all of that type stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Just connecting with people from other places.
Like, that's, and
how
all
many
of
niggas
that,
you know in Brooklyn never left Brooklyn to this day?
And that's something that she wanted. She didn't want us to be, right?
Yeah.
So she would always, times we come to her job, she'd be like, meet me at work. She'll have a little bag pack, and we like, what we doing? She'll take, she won't say nothing. We'll just end up on Grand Central 42nd at the Greyhound. You know what I'm saying? And we on our way to D.C. to go to the Smithsonian for the weekend and go and check out the Aerospace Museum and things like that. Because she used to always tell us, she said, look, you in the hood, you not the hood. You understand what I'm saying? So she used to always put that in. She would never let us say, oh, I don't eat that or I don't like that. Like, how do you know? Have you tried it?
Oh,
and I'd be like, nah. She's like, all right, so try it out. If you like it, you got something new you like. If you don't like it, now you have the knowledge that you don't like that. And you can really say that. You gained either way. So
can
when
you
Guru,
do that for my kids now?
I mean, you just got, listen, you just got to tell them, you know, it's hard. And so that's why I think Google premiered, because in 1992 is the first time I ever lived in Berlin. Now I live here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I live down the street from where they say, yo, don't walk over there. Don't go. You know, I was in 92. I was drinking Beck's in Bremen, where they make Beck's from. I was in Sweden and all of these places. I was, the first place I ever went was Finland, Helsinki, Finland, the first place. Now, we talking about 1992. We talking 30 years ago. We was the only brothers there. Like, yeah, it was so crazy that I could literally go outside the hotel. Dudes could be gone. I could go outside the hotel and I could see these dudes all the way down the block, because they the only black little spots. You know what I'm saying? I could walk up to any stranger on the street. They didn't have to know me or nothing. Like, did you see my friends? And they'll be like, oh, yeah, we saw them over there. You know what I mean? It was like that. It was like people was volunteering information. Be like, oh, you looking for the other two black guys? They over there. You know what I'm saying? So, and it taught me how to interact differently with people, because see, my interaction with people, I was never raised in a hate whitey type way or nothing like that, because I wasn't raised in hate. I went to, a lot of people don't know, I went to private school, and when I was growing up, I went to church school. You know what I'm saying? They thought I was gonna be a preacher, like things like that. But you get that from the hood. You growing up and being the only interactions you have with certain white individuals was the police. You understand what I'm saying? Because and this is the thing about East New York. My family was one of the first black families to move into that neighborhood, because East New York was all Italian.
Yeah, yeah.
East New York was all Italian. Italians, Irish. Actually, that's where the real Murder, Inc. is from. Like, all of those real mafia, the real mafia. John, my mother went to high school with John and Franklin K. Lane. That's who else went to Lane. Yeah, Franklin K. Lane, John Gotti. So and like, all of these famous mafia families all in East New York, they all owned the pizzerias down a block, right, and around the corner. Like, if you, they had back in the days, the Pizza Connection, where it was all of these things through these pizzerias where they were smuggling drugs and all that. That was all around the way. I know the dude from one of the pizzerias, they kidnapped his daughter. You know, and all that. So my uncles used to get chased home from school every day when they first moved over there, because it was race wars and all of that type stuff. But then they start to know, and they like, oh, the Davises are good. My mother was the Girl Scout leader, the kids and all that. So it was kind of like we were good. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we don't really mess with black people like that, but they good. And then the neighborhood started to change, and it started to become very Puerto Rican. And so, and all different types of people. Like, people don't know, my family is very diverse. Like, you might not know it by looking at them, but my father's real name is Ricardo. You know what I'm saying? My grandfather's name is Jose, right? My grandfather was born in Cuba. I'm cousins from Panama, Costa Rica, all types of things like that. So I have a diverse family. So it was never taught to hate anybody, but you learn that hatred from the street. You understand what I'm saying? You learn that. And the only reason that you got to be pro-black is because people are anti-black. You understand what I'm saying? You get taught that as a kid. You don't know that.
Right.
So I felt that energy. And to this day, I still know that. Look, it's a target on your back regardless. It's just a social system. You got to realize America was designed in that way. And that's all it is. America is a country that was built on genocide and slavery. Right. Bro, that's just the bottom line.
It is the actual foundation of the country. People are like, oh, everybody's wilding. Like, no.
This is what it was supposed to be.
Wild.
Right. Yeah. This was the foundation.
What type of crazy person was like, I have nothing in my country, I'm gonna sail across the ocean with nothing and try to figure it out? That's a nutcase.
How about this? The people who came, they wasn't even volunteers. It was like criminals and all type of stuff like that. Like, you go as 20 weeks across the ocean and y'all go over there and do whatever you're going to do. Yeah. So it, just like Australia and all of these that are founded by criminals and killers. You know what I mean? Come on. We talk about America, 400 years old. And don't get me wrong, I love being American. I'm happy in my situation in life. But this is the reality of
the
things.
Foundation.
And the reality, right. And the reality is that it was people already there. You can't discover something that people was already there and thriving and living. And we don't see none of those people now. the people that was actually there, where are they? They should be everywhere. You know what I'm saying? You don't see none of them. The natives, you don't see them. They were there. They've been there because they got killed. They got everything taken. New York, Brooklyn, those was all natives. Manhattan, those was all natives. They say, so, and I'm saying all this to say an idea of life, and I had to keep going because you in America, you in a box, and that's what traveling is, and that's what I was saying about Guru and Premier going back to that, is that they took me outside of that so that I could see the interaction with people in other places.
Go into meeting them. That's the shit we need to know.
So yeah, so how does that happen?
I met Guru first because I went to high school with my man Shab, Sandro Castro. But you know, because Gangstar, a lot of people don't know, Gangstar different incarnations. Guru and Premier is the last incarnation of Gangstar. But before that, it was Big Shug, Guru. They the ones who really started Gangstar. Big Shug, Guru, and one of their other homeboys. That was Gangstar.
Right.
And then Shug went to prison. So Guru was like, he gonna do his thing. So he had other dudes. And one of the dudes he was rocking with, a dude, Smitty, him and my man Shab is cousins, I believe. So when he came to New York, you know, he had said, oh yeah, my man, he gonna be rapping, blah, blah, blah. You know how that is. And moved to New York and he was out. And so he started hanging out with my man Little Dad, Tommy Hill and Gus Moore, and that's how I got to know Guru through them. Because
you just listed shout outs from like Soliloquy of Chaos songs.
right.
I love
that's,
that.
So that's everybody. So I was still like, I could always rhyme, but I was into more like digging pockets and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like going up on the Ave or going to the Deuce. So I was doing what I was doing. I was rhyming, and then it was the Manifest video when I really had to kick it with Guru and them. So I was like,
Manifest
but 88.
Video.
Right, like, so that was like 88. Yeah. If you look at the Manifest video, I'm in there dancing. I got a big flat.
What?
Remember, that's when dancing was cool, man. But Thugs used to dance. But
that's cool now. I like it.
And that's
wow,
and that's 4 years.
Video.
That's like 3-4 years before I'm the Man, huh?
Yeah. So that's after the Manifest video, because PF he did my demo in like, I think it was probably like 86, 87. So then I went because I was never, but they was like, yo, come hang out the video, whatever. So then we start kicking it, and then the way I got cool with Premier is because I still had, so he's like, yo, let me hear your tape. I'll get the tape for you from the studio. It was at Firehouse. Because, you know, it was two main studios at the time that was really cracking. It was Firehouse and it was Such a Sound in Brooklyn. So we used to record in them spots. I think it was Firehouse with Urim, who I did my first demo. So I got Preem actually gave me the bread to get the tape, but the tape was all messed up, right? Because you know, back in the days, you used to have them thick tapes. They wasn't stored properly. They would crumble up if they wasn't used.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you had to beg them to do all that. So he's like, yo, what we gonna do? We gonna make a demo one day, blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, I start hanging out with Guru a lot. You know what I'm saying? It used to be me, Dap, and Guru just kicking it, just hanging out, you know, because it was like, it was the street vibe, like the East New York vibe, because when we go out, I knew a lot of people, Dap knew a lot of people, so we was able to move a little bit differently.
Dap went to high school with you too, or no?
Dap is from my hood. Me, Dap, all them East New York dudes, we all grew up together. Grew up with Dap, like my sister and Gus, sister was in the same class in third grade, like things like that. You know what I'm saying? We hung out. We knew the same people. We knew the same dudes. So like we would all hang out. That was the hood. Like so, all the people, most of the people that used.
Wait, Billy, can you pull up the what's the album cover with the gangsta with all the people on the back? Is that
you're talking about with the one
that's hard to earn
the star in the back.
Yeah, not Step in the Arena, the album after that.
Daily Operation?
Daily Operation.
Yeah.
Give me a favor. Bro, you don't understand, man. Gangstar, Premier, Guru, you, Group Home, like, It made me, man. It made me. It's all the
music. It made me too.
The music I used to listen to. Like, I thought the only reason why I DJ,
right,
is I wanted to be a producer. And
right,
I thought you had to be a DJ to be a producer. I thought you had to be Pete Rock,
right,
Premier. You know what I mean? So, like, I only taught myself how to DJ because I thought it was necessary to be a producer.
Right.
Can you name all these people? And is there any way to get closer? Or
hold up. Yep, I got you.
Name,
all right, so,
name all these people. All
right, so the first dude standing right in front of the star, that's Mr. Dave. Then below him is my DJ Tommy Hill. Next to Mr. Dave on the right is me, my man Dre Large. That's my cousin Maino, Robin Hood, Premier. Next to Premier is my man Rob. Next to Mr. Dave in the green jacket is Sincere. That's Rob's brother. Then I got my man Sean Guru. Let me see who that. That's Gordon. Below Guru, that's Nutcracker. Next to Guru, and that's my man Mike Rome.
Now, who's Tommy Hill? He was a DJ?
Tommy Hill was the dude who introduced me and Tommy Hill is the dude who actually introduced me to Guru. And actually, and I tell you a story, Tommy Hill and Gusmo and Dap are the ones who got Premier and Guru together because Guru used to be on a record label called Wild Pitch.
Wild Pitch,
of course.
Yeah.
And so the story is like this. And they used to be up there a lot with Finesse and all of those dudes. And they was going through a box of tapes. It was a box of tapes because, you know, people used to send in their tapes in order to, you know, get a record deal. And they heard the tape and they had an MC and Premier was scratching. And my man Tommy Hill and them was like, yo, forget the MC and get the DJ. And that's what happened. They made the call next day or whatever. Premier came up and that's how Gangstar became together as you know it today.
Wow. I mean, I know the story of Guru hearing the tape in the Wild Pitch office, but I didn't know
that was Tommy Hill and them who heard the tape, and Tommy Hill and Gus and Dap, and they was like, yo, check this out, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, so Tommy Hill, that's my man from the hood. He DJed for me for years, you know, that's my DJ. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Tommy Hill, Gusmo, they like, that's the hood. Like, we all grew up together. Like me, Tommy Hill, we went to Lane together, you know, and we went to Lane, yeah, with all of the dudes, like my man Teron, RIP, that's Dumb. You know, Tut's brother. A lot of the dudes from like the hood, like I said, our school was mostly,
bro, it was there's a song on Daily Operation called Soliloquy of Chaos. If you never heard it, YNAP fans,
you have
put
to
put that song on. It is a beautiful day, right, in the life. Moment, like Guru's explaining all the things he does before they get to the show, and then they go to the show, and like all these names you're saying are like just hit me in the head, like,
right.
Are you playing it?
Oh, he's playing it now, right?
Here we go. I'll give you a little taste.
Carlos deep, time to go to a show. Got massive crew, and we're ready to roll. So I grab my gear, hop in the whip and ride. Premier's got the fly dope system inside, but my shit cranks too. And we got mad tapes of all the underground roots with the lyrics and bass. Off into the New York night we go. Dre Large got the camera, biggest cords got three rolls of film, so we can take the macked out photos. Tommy Hill, the Damager, and my man Gusmo. Corey and Smurf and Little Dap's got a 40. My man Gary and Shiz and the Nutcracker Shorty. Mike Rome, chilling like Capone. Robin Hood, known as Mel, with the clientele. Mo, JT Mega, and can't forget Black. Big Rob and Sincere, yes, the posse's fat.
See? Out loud, boy. Rob, Sincere, Shiz.
That's everybody.
That's all the dudes, yeah.
That's so dope, bro.
Yo, by the way, silly question. Is Gordon who's still with Premier?
I don't know what Gordon is cooking now.
But Gordon, who was with Premier for all those years later,
right. Gordon, they still, everybody's still around. You know, I don't see dudes that much. I talk to Prem every now and then. I see Gordon on IG. You know, everything is on Instagram now. So, but yeah, everybody's still around. You know, we 50 and change now. You know what I'm saying? Well, me, yeah. I'm 50 right now. You know what I'm saying? We've been, it's,
when
it's
was
been
your birthday?
Years. February 14th.
Oh, wow.
You know, Valentine's Day. Yes.
Because so, you're from a house of love.
That's right.
You know, that's I used to call myself the Fat Mac. You know, that's why in one song, Goose says, here comes my man, the Fat Mac. You know, you know, we get Blaze because he got the fat sack. Like, that's the difference. Like, rap was real back then.
We got to figure out.
We talking about what we was doing.
We got to figure out, Syph, we got to get us to hear J-Roo. Get us here.
All right. I say people. That's my joint, too.
I say people. Come on.
So take us there.
The way I'm the Man came about is because, all right, so we was hanging out for years, you know, and I was in the studio when a lot of different songs was going on, and it was just gonna, it was like one day you gonna be ready, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just gonna wait, you just waiting. You know, it's different. Like, today I didn't say nothing to nobody, like, I could do this, I could do that. Dudes knew. And me and Guru and Dad, what we would do is we would just get mad, drunk, and high, and we would practice rhyming, but we would play a game where somebody would call out a group and you had to rhyme like that person. Like, they might be like Rakim, and then you had to rhyme like Rakim. They'd be like Kane, you had to rhyme like Kane. EPMD, one person be like Eric, one person be like Paris. So we used to just do that all the time. And
doing your own verses or doing
your own verses. Yeah, you had to do, right, you had to do their style, because at that time it was everybody had their own style. It ain't like how it, because anything else was biting,
right?
So you had to do your own rhyme, but you had to sound like them. So that's what we used to do to sharpen our skills. And then we was talking about it, and we like, yo, one day we're going to do a joint, but we're going to change every time we come, the beat gun change. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's going to be like, you got your own record. And it just came to the time where I'm the Man, it was time for I'm the Man. And we was listening to some stuff, and you know, Prem, and that's when they, it's a jazz musician. His name is Branford Marcellus.
Yep.
And Premier, I used to babysit his kid and all that, because Premier and Guru was living in his house. Mm-hmm. Like, he, because when they did the jazz thing, they worked with Branford and they became tight.
Yeah.
So they ended up, Branford was moving out of his house. So he gave them the crib. That's what we used to call that, the group home. It was this big duplex in downtown Brooklyn, and Guru was downstairs and Premier was upstairs. So I went upstairs to Premier. He had his little room on the side, and, you know, we just listened to a bunch of stuff, and then we heard the Miles Davis joint, I believe it is. I think, who is it? I can't remember now. But the doom 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 doom, because that's how it was. Like, with Premier,
let's get
a lot of people.
Here we go.
Yeah, it is.
And also in the set from Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, we got my man J-Roo the Damager. Yo, tell him why you're the Man.
I'll tap your jaw. You probably heard it before. Step to
the battle of my Abu. My word is law. Drugstore with more. Don't rhyme Vendor. Not partial to beef. The chief ambassador. Niggas get mad because they can't score. Like a Wild West flick. They wish to shoot up my door. But I incite to riot. Don't even try it. Walk up chump. So grab kids. Keep quiet. Like I said before. I tap your snatch whore. Kill suckers in wars. Pick a style. You said it was yours. Money grip. Wanna flip. But your fish. House the mic like your hooker and did tricks on the bitch. Dirty Rotten Scoundrel, and my name is J-Roo, utilizing my skills in 92. MC step up in mobs to defeat us when we rock knots and got props like Norm Peterson. Lots of friends, lots of fun, lots of beers. Got the skills, Crino, so we'll always get cheers. Troop on like a trooper, no tears for fears. I'ma get mine because the crew will get theirs. Cut you up like Edward Scissorhands. You know the program.
I'm the motherfucking Man.
Woo! Wow. You know. My air horn and, right now.
And you know, and if you notice, like, when my first rhymes, that was just street shit. I first started off talking about, I tap your jaw. You know what I'm saying? Like, because that's what we was on. That's what we was living. And like I said, no, I'm not a tough guy. I'm not none of that. You know what I'm saying? But I was just, it was either like, when we was growing up, it was predator or prey. And don't get me wrong, anybody who ever, any guy who's from the street, say he was never prey is a liar. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because you're gonna take losses. If you're gonna be a boss, you're gonna take losses. If you're gonna be a G, you're gonna take losses. You're gonna get it. I had a few losses, you know what I'm saying? And that was just part of it. But that's what alleviates the fear. You see what I'm saying? Because when you never lose, that's what happens to like all of these rich people who they lose their money and they jump out the window. Or boxers who so nice they never get hit. And the first time they get socked real hard, it's the end of their career, right? Because they don't know what it's like to feel that pain and take that loss, right? So, you know, I took hits, you know what I'm saying? I took hits, I've been knocked down, all that, because it's not about being knocked down. It's about getting up. You understand what I'm saying?
It's so real on a personal level. I did a little interview with someone yesterday, and we were talking about life stuff. And I was saying how, like, the last few years where I went through a divorce, it really was. And I'm not trying to compare, you know, getting socked in the street to getting a divorce. They're both horrible in different ways. But that right. L, when you take a, I lived a very privileged life. So that first right. L of like, no, you cannot have this thing you want anymore that was yours. Yeah. This was, it's not yours. It's over. You have to restart. That L stings so bad that when you eventually come out of it, you do have a different sense of like, oh, I'm good. I can do.
You're invincible.
I'm kind of invincible. Like, you survive. When you learn to survive, it's a game changer.
There's people who took the same L as you and off themselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that painful that they couldn't even live.
And by the way, I get it.
You're like, I'm the man.
Yo, listen, and listen. I hear y'all. I can see how a bad life and event can send you down the complete. It could be the beginning of you ending up in crazy land.
100%.
And yo, J-Ru, I'm sure you saw it with cats you came up with who were doing great and were having their moment. When shit started to go, they couldn't adapt.
Listen, myself, you know, I had a period where I was all the way up here. You understand what I'm saying? And then because of my actions, because things, I got knocked down. Now, if I was a lesser man, I could have been like, yo, what am I going to do? Am I going to go to this? But because I took L's before and I know how to handle an L, I just pivot. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what you got to do. Let me tell you what taught me. This was one of been probably my greatest loss in the street is when it was February 13th, 1988. The
day before your birthday.
So well, the day before my birthday, the day before my 17th birthday, I got jumped. They had a big gang in New York at the time. They had the Decepticons, all that different. I was in Bushwick. I was with my man E. It was a couple of us. They was trying to rob us or whatever. Mobbed out, whatever situation. Dudes broke out, blah, 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 blah. I get caught up. I get beat up. When I say beat up, one eye open, one eye closed, teeth broke in the back, all of that.
Jesus.
And after that, though, it was like, I could take that. What can one person do to me? What can two people do to you?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the only thing after that is death. You understand what I'm saying? That's why they say the samurai, he come to terms with death. He come to terms with dying. Because, and don't get me wrong, nobody want to die. Yeah, I don't want to die. But you understand what I'm saying? But once you gotta take losses in order, because a loss is not really a loss, it's a lesson. You understand what I'm saying? It's a lesson. That's what I say an L for. I don't take it for an L for loss. It's an L for a lesson, because you learn. You learn how to move. You learn how to adapt. You learn how to feel the pain. Because I'm going to check this out. If you really think about it, you think of your whole life, all the most painful moments, and when I mean physical pain, hurt, fall down, broke, you don't even remember what that feels like. If I try to tell you, remember what that exact pain feel like, you can't remember that. You can't picture that. Right. Even if you broke your arm or whatever, you know the psychological feeling, but the actual physical feeling, you don't even know what that feel like. You know what I'm saying? That's all. Everything else is in the mind. So, and I learned that. Like I said, you know, you got to take those losses. A person who ever say, oh, that's why I know they fake. Any dude from the street, I ain't never been took a loss. Nah, you fronting. Yeah. The most gangsterest gangsters take a loss. You understand what I'm saying?
This is a very special episode of Juan Ebbin. It's getting very philosophical and very life lessony. But I have hip hop nerd questions.
I
need answers.
Oh, see, because we
do
gotta
it, do it.
So I really enjoy that we're doing both. By the way, though, Saif, I love that we're getting the history and the life philosophy all together.
But you just played I'm the Man, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, that's released in May 92 is Daily Operation.
Yeah, 92, yeah.
It's Daily Operation, I'm the Man. And that's the first time I heard the Simpty noise. that noise became very relevant in my life because I went to school for engineering. So I learned exactly what it was.
Oh, go ahead and explain what it is because I don't know.
Okay, Simpty stands for, it's like an acronym. It's like SMPTE, Simpty. It's like
STMPE.
Yeah, synchronization, motion picture, something. It's like, it was the way that it was a digital code on the tape. So like the tape with 24 tracks. And it's like the tone of Serato. You know how Serato tone is like that noise?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same idea.
It was
this noise that you had to, like when I was an engineer, you put the tape on the reel, and you have to run that noise from beginning to end. So the tapes were, I think, 15 minutes long. Usually you get like three songs on a tape roughly, but you had to lay that sound. So on the 24th track, you laid that sound. Now, when people say they had 24-track studio, one track was automatically taken off because you had to put the Simpty. Now, that noise would trigger other machines to start at a certain time. It was really used for like movie and putting a score to movie. So the movie would be playing and then the machine would play and then machines would start at certain points of that code.
But it's basically a way for machines to talk to each other. It's a digital, it's for digital. It's a way for analog to talk to digital.
Right. Mm. But then in the studio, you always know you keep track 24 down because that noise was on there. But mm-hmm. Premiere put it up for that track, like as a like an interlude kind of noise.
So it was the sound between the verses, right?
Right, between the verses, because it's also on the Sunrise.
The whole tape.
Yeah.
Right, it's on the whole tape, the Simpty. Because
if
like Cypher was saying, without the Simpty noise, the tapes can't talk to the other equipment.
Yeah, like
you know what I'm saying?
Would start the MP3, the MPC. So, like, you know, at 30 seconds of this code on the tape, the MPC would start and the beat would start recording or whatever other keyboards you had hooked up or whatever.
It's kind of like MIDI. It's like the caveman version of MIDI.
Yeah.
So
noise, like, used to fascinate me. I was like, what is that noise? Like, and it was right before your part came on in the song. But those Gangsta albums, man, of the world to me. So were you on tour with them?
Like the first tour I went on was 92 when I did I'm the Man. That's like I said, that's the first time I came to Helsinki, Finland. Right. I would carry, you know, that's when it was called paying dues.
Yeah.
You know, before the internet and all that. You carry records, you carry stuff. And that's when I went on my we used to go on our boosting tour. Me and Dak, my man, go and shout out. We used to go on the international boosting tour. Cause we still kids from the East New York, right? We 21 years old, right? We from the hood and we in malls out in the middle of nowhere with like no security and all that. We like, oh my God, Ralph Lauren store, no security. Like we was fresh every night. We come back off tour with mad clothes and it wasn't even like New York. You didn't even have to be sneaky about it. I swear to God, one time, we in the store. The chick helps Gordon put an extra pair of pants on the hanger. She don't even know what's going on. She helps him. She like, oh, you having problems with that? Because what we used to do is he used to put like two pairs of pants on the hanger. You go in the joint. You take off one pair. You put it on. You put your other joints on. You come out. You know, you hang the joint back up. She helps him out. We like, oh my God. Yo, one time we was in the mall. It's like a Ralph Lauren hat. It's like sitting on a display like right there. And we all talking, blah, blah, blah. And we just in the middle of the mall. It's like, you know how when you walking through the mall, they have little things set up that's in the store. But so it's a little hat right there. I turn one second, next second, I turn around, the hat is gone. I'm like, damn, one of you niggas is fast. You know what I'm saying? We used to have, man, we had so much fun.
So wait, so your days would be, your days would be just boosting at different malls, and then you'd help bring the stuff
to the show.
And then you bring the stuff to the show, help out, come out and do your joint. Now, would you also ad-lib throughout the night, or you kind of just do your joint, that's it?
We was doing ad-lib. Once you come out, because we would set the show up. Like, so once after you get on stage, then that's you on stage for the rest of the night. You understand what I'm saying? And then you do your ad-libs, and you do, you know. So it was like it was real training. You understand what I'm saying? And the first tour, check this out. The first real tour I was on, like the first tour, it was the EPMD tour. It was EPMD. It was EPMD, Redman, Dos Effects, you know, the whole Hit Squad, Death Squad. And the way that tour started off, I'll never forget it. They were shooting the Headbanger video. The headbanger. We went to the Headbanger video. Mm. We kicked it for a few minutes. We jumped in our van and we drove off, and they finished the video and they met us. And this is the time Gangstar was small time, right? So we had the van. We had the Vantastics, but it was a fly van. Like, they had the pilot. Oh, remember the Vantastics? Had the pilot seats, the TVs, you know, it was pimped out. And then, so we had that. It was me, Dat, Shug, Premier, and Guru, and that was it. So we had the Fantastics, and we would drive, and then we drove, and they met us or whatever. And like I said, we would stop at malls and shit, and it was crazy. It was like, yo, that's what really helped my mind. Like, it helped me to pivot a little in a different direction, because I was like, because I'll tell you a story. The last time I ever did, I'm not gonna say that I ever did a crime, but that I did the type of crimes that I was doing, it was a show at Mars. Remember Mars? Up there on the West Side Highway or whatever. So it was a show there. It was a Gangstar show. So I wanted to go get some money during the day. So me and Afu, we went on Jamaica Ave. He's like, yo, we gonna go catch a pocket. So we went up there, boom.
Wow.
And so we went, boom. We catch the pocket, whatever, boom. And Money start chasing us, because usually Money's knocked out, but Money didn't get knocked out. So Money, he like, hey. So people start chasing us. Boom, boom. So we get away. But when we finally get, we jump into a dollar van. That's how we make our escape. We switch up. Boom, boom, boom. We jump into a dollar van. When we get to the dollar van, we kicking it, and we pull out what we got. Yo, why? It's a badge in the wallet.
Uh-oh.
It's a badge. Money was a cop. And good thing he ain't shoot us, right? He was an off-duty cop. Good thing he ain't shoot us. And secondly, good thing we got away, because I wouldn't be here today, most likely. It's a lot of things I wouldn't be here today, most likely. Trust me. You know, like I said, we was getting into, like, I was really in the street. Like I said, a lot of people don't know that about me, because I'm not like, oh, this is. But, you know, we was playing with the guns and all of that type stuff, and, you know, getting shootouts and craziness, you know, just for no reason. But that was the last time I said, you know what, I came to do my verse at the Mars, and I was like, yo, I ain't gonna do that no more. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna just focus on rapping. And then soon after that, we went on tour, and yeah, I never went back to that, except for when I was on tour. You know what I'm saying? And other little stuff, like other little scuffles and things like that on the road.
How many people would be on tour? So you got Premier, you got Guru, then you
it
got
just
you
used to
and
be Dap. Me, Dap, Shug, and Gordon. That was the first run.
That was,
you know what
okay,
I'm saying?
That's who the essential tour is. So right. Like, if you go in far from Brooklyn, those that's the main
right.
crew. But
right.
Like,
we get
show
in
Jersey. How
that's
many people
the whole
show
Brooklyn.
Up?
That's
whole,
Brooklyn.
Everybody that is shouted out.
Anybody who could get there. You know what I'm saying? 5 cars, 6 cars, 10 cars. If it's someplace we could drive, even if it's Philly, if you can get your hotel and all of that, and some dudes gonna crash in rooms, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it could be 30, 40 dudes.
How far?
Easy.
How far before the crew starts breaking off? I say once you hit DC. Then a lot of the dudes start falling.
Some dudes get lost. Some dudes run out of gas on some dumb shit, or they tire get flat, or somebody get into an argument and niggas want to get out the car and fight. You know, cause it's hood dudes, right? So you got hood dudes riding. So, you know, things like that happen. Like one night we out, we riding, and Gool and Premier get into it. Then dudes are gassing, all right, come on, we got to get out. Now dudes got to fight. And all this crazy, you know, like we young, we kids, right? And we still on that, you know, this is what we about. You know, this is, but so it, we used to roll deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there, you know, I seen a lot of things. Like, I seen a lot of things, like the new music seminar. Like, I was there when Ice Cube had beef and they had the Booyah Tribe and all that. Yeah, I was there. I saw a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of people don't know this. I'm going to give you real hip-hop history.
Here we go.
When and this is going to blow people's minds right now.
Welcome to when Nas, life.
Yep.
When Nas did the Illmatic album, for all of the songs Premier produced, I was in every session. It just used to be me, Nas, and Premier for most of those sessions. Preem used to come scoop me. We used to go get Nas from Queensbridge, and then we used to go to D&D. I used to roll. Nas be writing, Premier make the beat.
Which car was this? Which Premier vehicle was this?
The MPV.
MPV was this time.
Mm.
The MPV. That was the beginning. It was the MPV. So like I was still in my projects. Like this was project to project. I didn't even have a record out or nothing.
Yeah.
It was just I didn't even have.
Why were you the one to go with Premier? Why did he like you in the studio?
I could rhyme. I'm a cool ass motherfucker. I mean, you know, I don't know. Like that's my bro. That's how it was down. Like it was, you know, if you know me, I have a lot of jokes. I have a lot of humor with me. You know what I'm saying? I'm a humorous individual.
Now, you know, and I'm fun to be around. Certain people you call for certain things.
So I'm fun to be around. I'm level headed. You know what I'm saying?
Daytime dude.
Right. But this was night. The sessions would be from, like, most sessions that we did, we didn't do sessions in the day mostly. We did our sessions from, like, midnight till the next morning, from 9, 8 o'clock till 9, 8 o'clock the next morning. That's how we would roll. So these would be like.
And you drive to Queensbridge.
Right, grab Nas. And then we drive back to D&D. We get our trees or whatever. I have something rolled up in the car. Like, you know, while we going, because, you know, it's, I'm going to say this about myself, I think. I'm a good all-around person. You understand what I'm saying? Because I can be street as fuck, but I'm very knowledgeable and I'm level-headed. You know what I'm saying? If it's time for it to pop, then it's going to pop. But I could also say, you know what, let's work this out. Let's figure it out. You know what I'm saying? And in a way and in a manner, I'm going to see what's going on. You know what I mean? Like I said, because I've been in the street. So, yeah, I mean, Preem, that's just my dude. You know what I mean? Always and forever, no matter what little. Because as youth, as men, you're going to get into shit with motherfuckers that you grew up with. You know what I'm saying? And your boys, and y'all going to have different agreements. And as youth, you ain't really going to know how to handle it the way you should handle it. Because I say to me personally, the way we handle a lot of things with the whole, with me, Premier, Google, us, all of us in general, we handle things like children. We could have had way more success because, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love my life. You understand what I'm saying? I get up, my day is riding my bike with my girl to the center of town and getting a cafe latte with soy milk. You know what I'm saying? And going to bed when I want to go to bed and getting up when I want to get up. So life is beautiful. But I think we could have handled things in a more strategic manner, but I think we were all just youth. You understand what I'm saying? And our egos, everybody had the ego, right? That's
so
like-
If I ran into Nas, you think he would remember that it was you that was in the
100,000%. Nas, my wow. man. 100,000%. It's not like I was a, you know, like an invisible dude, like Nas.
Well, and also, but here's the part we got
to
get into. Here's where we got to get to the come clean of it. Because, Saif, let's not forget, like, there was a time where you both were two of the most.
That was the same time.
And y'all were the hottest.
Nas album first.
And y'all were in the same air of like hot, young New York. These are right. cats who have the streets. So when did you start recording Come Clean? I know Come Clean ended up being thrown on that the Guru Payday compilation, the Ill Kid shit.
The LK sampler, right? That was our joint that we decided, because this story about Come Clean is nobody would fuck with it. They didn't like it. I would take it to all the record labels. They's like, and we don't hear it. We not feeling it. So we was like, yo, Goon, you know what I'm saying, son? We just gonna put this out ourselves. He's like, bet. He's I'm gonna start the label, Ill Kid, and we gonna put it out. We put it out, we melted out ourselves.
You went to the studio, you made Come Clean.
Mm-hmm.
And like Premier was saying, like we were talking about earlier, when y'all did sound check at shows, he'd be cutting up.
Heads up, cause we dropped. That's when we was in Europe. When we was out in Europe the first time, and he was every night, because Goo didn't do sound check. I did sound check. That was part of paying dues, right?
Yeah.
So I would do sound check and get everything together. And then one day I said, son, when we get back, we need to do a record and make this the hook. And he was like, bet. And when we got back, he had the drum track for me, because we already knew what the scratch was going to be.
Right.
He came, he hit me with a drum pattern. I was like, ooh, I like that. He's like, yo, come to my crib. And on such and such day, Mike Rome, we jumped in his truck. We went to Preen Crib. That's when he was in Queens. We listened to a few records. We was listening. Then we heard that record. Before we wouldn't say, but now everybody knows it's a Shelly Man record.
Yeah, yeah.
We listened to that record, and then we heard it. All these crazy noises, and we just looked at each other. And then, because it was Ever Pause. So then we listening, and then we like, he's like, yo, you want me to loop it like this or loop it like this? And that one right there, I like that. And I was like, ooh, loop it like that. And then he put it on the cassette. We dropped the cassette in my man Ron's truck. And when we got home, I ain't even write it. My man Ron like, yo, what you gonna say to this? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, you're one up front, boy. And that's where I started that from there. And then you know, and if you notice, all my original rhymes is very confrontational. You know what I'm saying?
Now
very confrontational. I'll tap your jaw. You want to front, jump up and get bucked. If you feeling lucky, duck, then press your luck. Like, I really had my ego was, you know, because I survived East New York, right? Like, so I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I know real killers and like dudes. It's silly. It's a silly way to think, right? But so everything was just real confrontational. But so that's who I was. But the back to the Nas thing, I did Sunrise in the East right after Illmatic. So Premier produced Sunrise in the East. I mean Illmatic. I was there the whole time because it was kind of like, all right, figure out. I'm like, oh, I know this is dope. I know that's dope. You know what I mean?
But by the time he's done with Illmatic, isn't Come Clean already bubbling?
It's bubbling, but just the single. We hadn't done the album yet. Did the album after. Come Clean started bubbling on its own from the Ill Kid sampler.
Right,
that's how I got the deal after that. So that's, you know, so I'm just there with Cream.
Is there any beats Premier played for Nas that he didn't take that became any of your songs or other songs that you heard?
Nope, because it wasn't like that. Like, you got to realize, a lot of people don't realize, they think Premier now, but at that time, Premier was still very young and new with doing it. So it wasn't like he had whole stashes of beats together. Every beat that you heard was made on the spot.
Right, I did hear that.
Dudes was in the studio. That's why the studio was so exciting, because he might have a drum pattern that he'd been working on at home or something. He might have a drum. That's how you know what I'm saying is true. He would have a drum pattern that he had, and he'll pop in, and then he'll be in the studio, and we just all be sitting there listening to records. You understand what I'm saying? And that's why every time Premier record on the record, that's why all my records sound different than all the Gangstar records.
Because
your taste is put in there too, because you sitting there with him, right? And he's going through things and listening. You might be like, oh, son, right there.
So you're saying Nas is sitting there and the drums are playing and then the loop for New York State of Mind comes on and they're like, oh, I like that.
Right. Premier, he pulling out records. It ain't even loops. He pulling out records.
He's pulling out
putting records on the turntable and playing like, oh, yeah, I think I got something. And he putting them on the table.
That's insanity.
And he playing it, and then you be like, oh, or even you sitting there, you be like, oh, damn. And I'm like, son, I want that beat. And then, you know, we go home after the end of the session, the shit is done, And then me and Preem, we just listening to the joints. We like, damn, that shit is crazy, son. He like, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna cook up some shit for you. Don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, yo, you giving son, this shit is fire right here. Like those, that was the days of hip hop. I was in the studio with a lot of sessions. Jay-Z, you know, all the records that Preem did, I would be there because that's my man. And you know, and you gotta remember, me and Premier, it's like Gangstar. We was a team too. You understand what I'm saying? We was a team too. We came out a groundbreaking record. Like we was a team. You know what I'm saying? So that's my man. Same way it was him and Guru. They was a group, but we was a team. So,
yeah.
You know, I would always be like when he was doing musical stuff, I come through the studio, hang out. He's doing Jay-Z or he's doing Big or he's doing, I'd be there. You understand what I'm saying? I come through and I, like I said, but for Illmatic, for all the songs Premier produced, I was in the studio. Like I'm sitting here, Nas is sitting right here on the B room in D&D.
It's funny though, because when it's all said and done, when I think of that time, like at least for me as a hip hop consumer, like Come Clean was so much more beloved for me than when Nas ended up dropping his single. Like, It Ain't Hard to Tell was cool. I liked It Ain't Hard to Tell. But, yo, Come Clean was like the... Syph, wouldn't you say Come Clean may have been the biggest underground rap joint for like a year and a half?
I mean...
That shit was very big.
It was a monster. If you were a real hip-hop head, Come Clean was like every talk break on a mix show, freestyle. You know, the record was played for a long time. I remember in D.C. hearing it. I think DJ Iron play that record early, and he thought your name, I don't know what the test press said, but he just said it was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
It was Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. That's another thing. That's why I came out with the original. I remember going on tour, and one of the buyers from one of the stores be like, yo, J-Roo, man, I just spent mad money on this bullshit-ass record because it's called Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I thought it was you. That group DRS, this is for the homies. And because I'm the original Dirty Rotten Scoundrel, that's how that record actually blew up, Quiet as Kept, is because all the buyers bought it. They thought it was Come Clean. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, Dirty Rotten Scoundrel, because it was the original thing said J-Roo the Damager, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels on the test press joint. You know what I'm saying? So on the Ill Kid sampler.
But were you aware? But like, how much did you feel that like this record got gigantic, and was there one big Premier talked about in his So What's Up series on YouTube, Flex playing the record. Do you remember the record getting premiered on radio? And
let me tell you, the record got premiered on radio before Flex played it, because this is what happened and this is how we knew it was gonna blow. I'm in the Village with my man. I'm actually with I'll give y'all another bombshell. Wu-Tang Clan. I was hanging out with Wu-Tang Clan way before they had the Wu-Tang Clan. I remember when the RZA came to me and was like, yo, son, we coming up with this shit called Wu-Tang Clan, yo. Like, and he's broke that down because the Jizz is the one who taught me how to play chess. And we used to hang out and we used to sell books and do all types of different stuff.
Yo.
And
so tight.
And
so that's so perfect.
I used to sell books. Me, True Master, my man Afu, my man said, we used to sell books, and the Jizzle used to come after work. He was a bike messenger at the time. He used to come up. We used to hang out. We used to smoke weed. We used to go to Pier, have Kung Fu fights. We used to go watch Kung Fu movies, play chess. Like, those my brothers, like the Jizzle, the RZA, those my brothers. Like, we go way back. So I'm in the Ville. We out in the Village because we used to hang out in the East Village, and we rolling up some trees, and I hear Come Clean coming out of a car. And I'm like, yo, son, you heard that? To my man. My man like, come on, son, you bugging. I'm like, nah, son, I'm telling you, I heard the song. Then I hear another car, but it's playing it at the same point that the other car is playing it. So I'm like, that can't be the same station.
Right.
Yo, I called Guru on a payphone. Yo, son, boom, boom, boom. I think he like, yo, they played it on Hot 97. They played it, boom, boom, boom. Well, there was no Hot 97. I think it was Kiss and whatever. I don't know. Hot 97 was the time. But
Hot 97 just might have gotten turned hip-hop, like just turned hip-hop right there.
So they was playing it on all the stations all of a sudden. That's how I got the deal. But fellas, listen, I think my phone is going to die, so I don't want to get cut off. You know what I'm saying? So if you got something else you want to add, oh, I got something I want to say though.
Okay.
Because this is epic right here. This is epic. Yo, I just finished. It's mad far away. So. Hold on. Let me hold on. You know I'm old, man.
Go get a charger.
Shit like that.
We need you to get a charger.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I gotta say something.
Sife, I like what you just did. I like what you just did. See, here's a secret. J-Ru thinks he's getting out soon. We got way more to do.
We haven't touched
the album yet. The
first album yet.
No, in
what's
fact,
happening?
In fact, while J-Ru's getting his charger, guess what we're doing, Sife?
Uh-oh, don't tell me.
We're going to Patreon.
Yeah. We're going to Patreon?
Yeah, so when he comes back with his charger, he thinks it's close. It's not. We're going to do another hour.
Okay.
45, 50.
Guys, honestly, thank you for joining us, man. What was that J-Ru? What was that first one, that classic that we need to hear about? Is that The Sun Rises in the East?
That's right. And we got to talk Wrath of the Math, and we got to talk about the Bad Boy stuff too.
Yeah.
All right, I'm back.
He's back.
Right. Hey, good morning.
Oh yeah, we can talk about all that shit. I hear you.
All right, good. Good morning.
I've been hearing y'all. My
Damn it. We didn't want you to hear that.
Yeah. All right.
Hold on.
We back. Yeah. So yes, yeah, it's a lot to talk about.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Patreon.
Cypher Sounds, Peter Rosenberg, Juan Epp is life. Shut the fuck up, Billy June.